We may take our seats. So we are getting to the end part of our series on preaching, teaching, and healing. So let's quickly go through the verses. Hallelujah. What are our golden verses for preaching, teaching, and what? Healing. Let's turn our Bibles to quickly Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. So, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Let's also go to Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Acts 10, 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing what? Good, and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Hallelujah. Amen. And then we also read from 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. For whosoever committed sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. He that committed sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So yesterday, in times past, when Jesus walked the earth, he was preaching, teaching, healing, doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, and destroyed the works of the devil. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So what did Jesus do when he walked the earth to destroy the works of the devil? He preached, he taught, he healed, he delivered all that were oppressed of the devil, and then died on the cross, rose from the dead. These things, preaching, teaching, healing, helping people, and dying on the cross, was destroying all the works of the devil. So it means that anytime there is preaching and there is teaching and people are being healed, the works of the devil are being destroyed. Amen. Hallelujah. Then we began to find out why Jesus spent most of his time preaching and teaching and healing. Why? I mean, the Bible says, by the foolishness of preaching, God has chosen to save lives. That, I mean, if you think about it logically, why should someone just speaking be so powerful? Why should someone just speaking and preaching the gospel save souls? It's because it is the power of God. Hallelujah. Amen. So we began to talk about some of the reasons why preaching is powerful. Number one, preaching is powerful because what? It attacks the root of man's problems. Hallelujah. Amen. And sin is the root of man's problems, and preaching attacks it. Number two, what else did we talk about? Because preaching releases the power of God. Hallelujah. What else did we talk about? Number three, because preaching gives hope. Many people come to church without hope. There was someone who lost his son. Actually, I can't remember whether it was Steve Brock, but someone lost his son, died. The son died. And the man was so heartbroken that he took a gun and was going to kill himself. And then what happened? He was watching TBN or Daystar, one of those. I think it was TBN. As he was watching it, a pastor was preaching. And that preaching gave him hope. And because of that, he did not kill himself. How many are getting what I'm saying? So the preaching of the gospel gives hope. Because the Bible says, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. When there is no hope, it makes people, what? Discouraged. It makes people depressed. It makes people feel that there is no point in life. But when the preaching comes, the preaching gives hope that there is a good life after. The preaching gives hope that, look, in his time, he makes all things beautiful. Because in God's time, he will make all things beautiful. Hallelujah. So preaching gives hope. And hope is also important because without hope, you cannot have faith. Hallelujah. Amen. And hope is an anchor for the soul, both sure and steadfast. Number four, preaching is important because what? Preaching saves lives. Hallelujah. And I give the example of how lives were saved. In the past, people lived to 950 years, 930 years. Imagine, over 900 years, people will live. people were having children and outdooring at age 700. Imagine, 700 years, people are having children at age 700. At age 400, right now, when you are 80 years old, it's even a struggle. 50, some people, 50 is a struggle. Hallelujah. But 800 years, imagine, 700 people are having children. And then the sin of man became great. And then maybe another time we'll talk about it. But after that, the sons of God, the Bible says in Genesis 6, let's read where things changed. I'll not spend too much time on that now. But Genesis 6, let's start from verse 1. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. So God cut the days of man to 120 years because of the sin and the sons of God going into the daughters of women. Hallelujah. And then after that, God cut the days of men to what? 80 years old. Hallelujah. But when the preaching comes, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will never die. Even if they die, they shall live. Hallelujah. So, and then we said what? Preaching saves lives. And then what's the next? And then, okay, let's continue to read. We also read from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. If you think about it, it's people sitting down and someone just shouting or speaking, and that releases power. That saves lives. Think about that. It's mysterious. Amen. Okay, so these are the reasons why preaching is important. Now, we are going to find out why teaching is important and why healing is important. Emmanuel, are you ready for that?
That's right.
Now, why is teaching so powerful? Mark chapter 1, verse 21 to 24 will help us find out. Mark chapter 1. And they went into Capernaum. And straightway on the Sabbath day, he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. Think about that. Jesus was, what was he doing? He was just teaching. Now, teaching is deeper than preaching. Preaching is, I see you receiving your house. Receive it in Jesus' name. Oh, no one, you don't want a house. I'm not talking about a house that you are paying mortgage. I'm talking about a house paid for cash. I'm talking about a house with no mortgage. I see you receiving your house. Take it in Jesus' name. I see someone here receiving 10 blessings, 10 spiritual blessings. Receive it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Take it. It's yours in Jesus' name. Preaching is nice, but it works. But teaching is deeper than preaching. Teaching goes into your spirit, goes deep down. The Bible talks about a sower who went out to sow, and the seed went deep and bear fruit because it sprang. It went so deep into the soil that it was able to spring forth. Hallelujah. Teaching does that. But teaching is not always exciting. Teaching is a lot of open the Bible. But sometimes when you are preaching, you quote the scriptures and you use it. It's just moving. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's just moving, fast-paced. It charges. But teaching encourages. Teaching helps. Look at Romans chapter 15, verse 3 and 4. So teaching, they are all important. They are all important. That's why he did it. Jesus did it. 15, okay, verse 4. Sorry.
For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. Teaching. For our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. So you can see that as the word is coming deeper and we are understanding, teaching gives understanding. Hallelujah. You can have someone who hears preaching a lot and does not hear much teaching and will not even understand the reasons. Like, why do you speak in tongues? When you are preaching, you are not going to go into the details of why you speak in tongues. But when you are teaching, why do you speak in tongues? What are the verses that give you confidence that you should speak in tongues? There are some who say tongues is for yesterday and yesterday. Yeah. Some say that, do all speak in tongues? Some say that if there's no interpreter, keep silent in the church and pray to yourself and to God. So why do we speak in tongues? But there are scriptures to back that. That's where teaching comes in. Hallelujah. Why is it necessary to pray? Teaching goes deep into it. Teaching explains why we are Christians. Now, someone will ask, now, what is salvation? What is all this about? Why did Jesus have to die? What is all the blood? What is all that for? Why couldn't God just say, look, everybody is saved? Or why didn't God just give some conditions? Why was there blood needed? There are verses in the Old Testament because the Old Testament has never been done away with. Only that Jesus has come to fulfill the Old Testament, and anyone who believes in Jesus fulfills the Old Testament law. That's the whole thing. But there are verses and there's a lot of teaching to explain it so that you and I will understand our salvation.
Amen.
There is a lot of teaching to explain how faith works. Even though it's mysterious, faith is a mystery. Faith is not easy to just tell, because God will do fantastic things for you. The next day, you wonder what happened. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You will see that people are healed. You ask yourself, why is it that not everyone is healed in miracle services? But there's no question about it, at least for me. Trust God that you also. But for me, there'll be a miracle service where every person will be healed before I die, in Jesus' name. Believe that you also experience that way. Because Jesus said, you shall lay hands on the sick. Not the pastor, but you. Those who believe in me shall lay hands on the sick and they will recover.
Amen.
I was preaching on believers' authority. I think I was teaching on it. And there was a lady who had a bump in her forehead. And because she now understood the teaching, I told them that, look, it's not always you have. As for the pastor, you ask, I need prayer. My family member is in the hospital. I'll go. Jesus always went, so I'm following Jesus. The person is on the deathbed, just died. Pray and raise the person. I tried to raise from the dead 3 times. But as you keep doing it, it will work. I'm expecting to raise, Smith Wigglesworth raised 21 people from the dead, 13 to 21. By the grace of God, not only me, if you wanted to. Because the works that I do, I should be able to raise about 30 people from the dead. And you too, if you want. How many are getting what I'm saying? So, you will see how sometimes, by faith, many things work. But you will apply the same faith and that's the mystery of faith, and maybe it might not have worked. For example, I've prayed for different people who have been healed, cancer, different diseases, and people have died also after praying for them. Why? Because faith is mysterious, but you can't learn it by preaching. For example, there was a time I went to one of the clinics in Minnesota, and the woman had breast cancer metastasized, spread to the brain, meaning that stage 4. And it was time to go to coma. But we prayed for her and she got up. Not that day, but she got up a few days after and she was healed. So because of that, I had confidence. I didn't understand that faith is mysterious. So I went to one of the members, Jerry's uncle, the house. He had cancer, stage 4, and he was given about 3 months to live, 3 to 6 months. He showed me, look, this is my pants. And the pants were double his size. He said, look, this is how I was about 2-3 months ago, and I've lost so much weight. And they've given me a certain number of months to live. I gave him some faith messages, but he said he didn't believe in the southern preachers because they were thieves. So he didn't believe in them, so he was not going to listen to it. But I encouraged him, and I said, look, I'm telling you, I've been sent by God. And I'm telling you, because I didn't understand the mystery. Not that I didn't understand, you have to believe. I said, look, I'm telling you, I'm guarantee that you live, that you'll be healed. And I gave him the scriptures to back it. By his stripes, you were healed. The Bible says, and he was saying, but my sickness. No, not your sickness. The Bible says that by his stripes, you were. All these beautiful verses. And then the wife was thanking me and wanted to give me tea. No, coffee or tea. I said, I wanted tea. And then it's kind of like, wow, a hero who has come and has healed, and you want to give tea and thank him. Look, the guy died in less than a month. The 6 month died in less than a month after. But it doesn't mean that faith doesn't work. The next time I see someone who is sick, I'm behaving as if that never happened, and the woman who was raised from the deathbed worked. But all these things, you can go deep into it through teaching to explain why, because there are explanations. When I say explanations, why this got healed, that person doesn't get healed, there's no explanation. So when we get to heaven, we'll find out. But there's a teaching to understand so that when it doesn't happen, it doesn't mean God is not true. God is true. God is faithful. God answers prayers. Look at David. David was praying for Solomon's older brother, the firstborn of Bathsheba and David. Praying that God heal the child. He fasted and prayed. When the child died, he just got up. And the servants were surprised. If you were crying and you didn't want to eat when the child was alive, we thought that when the child dies, you even cry more. He said, no, I was just believing God per adventure. God will heal. But if God didn't heal, let me get up. There's no point. I'm moving on, and I'll believe God continuously. Amen. That's how you and I must operate. Amen. But you can't preach. It's teaching that will explain all these things.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Teaching will explain so many things. Life. Give us details. Look, for example, the Bible says, through wisdom a house is built. But wisdom comes from teaching of the word. Through wisdom. Meaning that through wisdom, a marriage, a house, a family is built. But how many have seen buildings that have been torn? Well, Cleveland is a beautiful Cleveland. If you want to see it, just look at Cleveland. Just move out around. You see torn buildings. This is an example. All you need to do is just go towards the airport or wherever and just look. You see torn. Or you won't see them. You see torn buildings. So it shows that something can be built and torn down. But the Bible says, by understanding, it is established. You don't tear down something that's established. And wisdom comes from the word of God, as we are taught the word. And we understand. Understanding, the more you apply wisdom. Wisdom is God's principles. Hallelujah. There are many definitions for wisdom, but at the end of the day, it's God's principles. And when we apply wisdom, and you see, wisdom, you don't need to understand it. The Bible says, give and shall be given unto you. The Bible says, husbands, love your wives. Wives, submit to your own husbands. The Bible says, humble yourself and you'll be exalted. The Bible says many things, but we have to do it even though we don't understand it. But when we do it, we will see the benefits of wisdom. Jesus said, wisdom is justified by her children. I don't understand it, but the Bible says so, and I'm doing it. Wisdom principles. There are many principles of wisdom that we might not understand, but we just do it. Now, when you do it and you see the results and you keep on following wisdom, God will give understanding.
Amen.
And then you will understand why it works. And when you understand it, you will do it with understanding and it will be established.
Amen.
And that blessing will be established. And then you will receive knowledge and knowledge, the doors, I mean, the Bible says wisdom and knowledge is a blessing. When you have wisdom, is the principal thing. And after getting wisdom, get understanding. When you have wisdom, in wisdom's right hand is long life. In wisdom's left hand is what? Riches and honor. All from the word of God. Am I preaching to somebody? So, teaching. So now let's get into teaching. Now we read about a man who was demon possessed, who had an unclean spirit in him. And Jesus was just teaching the word. And the demon was agitated. Think about it. Jesus was teaching, just teaching. And the Old Testament, look, teaching from the Old Testament, teaching. And as Jesus was teaching, leave us alone. It means that anytime you and I are hearing the word, any demonic influences that are trying to influence us, run away.
Amen.
Now, it's important to know that a Christian cannot be possessed by a demon. A demon cannot be in a Christian's spirit. Not possible. But a demon can be or influence the body or the mind.
That's right.
Am I preaching to somebody? And many times, there are demons that affect people's minds and then they become Christians. And because they don't allow the word of God to penetrate, many of those demonic thoughts still stay. What am I talking about? I'm talking about, so now you see that this man is an unclean spirit. The spirit had, when someone is possessed, he's possessed spirit, soul, and body. And those happened before Christ died. And even after Christ died, the Bible says, and Philip went down to Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Spirit screaming and getting out of people. So those things were still existing. But these days, you find most people with demons influencing their bodies and minds. Now, there was an example of a pastor who was praying for a lady. The lady had cancer, stage 4, breast cancer on the left breast. There's something interesting about that left part. I don't understand. But no one will have it in Jesus' name here.
Amen.
Or any family member. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. But the left breast, and she was on her deathbed. And they called pastors to pray for her. The pastors prayed 3 days. She was slipping into eternity more and more each day. So they called this particular pastor. And this particular pastor was praying. He prayed, and he very successful in the healing ministry. So he prayed a number of times, no results. And then he asked God, God, there's a problem. Why is she not being healed? What is going on? So God spoke to him and said, look, ask her whether she has someone she has not forgiven. So when he asked, her cousin had swindled her and she held it against him. So God, the pastor said, pray and ask God to forgive you for unforgiveness and forgive your cousin now. Forgive him in your heart. She did that. As soon as she did that, God told the pastor to stand at the edge. I can't remember whether it was the foot or the base of the bed. But he said, I cast you out, spirit of infirmity. Get out in Jesus' name. Then he said that he didn't see a physical thing, but spiritually he felt like a bat-like creature came out of the left breast and flew away. He just felt it. And the woman got up. That was the end of the cancer. So spirit, so that bat-like creature was an unclean spirit. The Bible talks in Revelation about Babylon, Babylon, you have become the habitation of every foul, unclean bird. There was a lady who joined the church. She was an unbeliever. She had so many difficult problems when she first joined. And she always felt like committing suicide. She was married. Anytime the husband talks to another lady, then she would cut her wrist. It was a problem she had from childhood. There are many things people go through in their childhood. So she would slit her wrist. And She always felt like killing herself. So one of these days, the husband called me to the house. So I prayed for her, asked her to confess, you know, confess her faith in Christ and prayed against the spirit, cast out the spirit. And I sensed the same thing. I didn't see anything, but I just felt like a bat-like thing just left her. She's never, ever felt like killing herself after that. Never. Now when you see her, she's a different, very confident. Hallelujah. Now why is that? It's because there was an unclean spirit influencing the body. It doesn't mean that every cancer, every disease is an evil spirit. Am I preaching to somebody? Sometimes it's our what we put in, what we eat. What we eat carries a lot of weight in our health. Yeah. So sometimes it is what we've put in or our environment, but mainly what we eat. I believe it's like 60, 70%. Genes is a very small aspect of some of these diseases. It's what we put in. So if we put in good things into our body, I'm not even talking about drugs, alcohol, cigarettes. Those ones, we know what they will do. I'm talking about food, normal food. Hallelujah. Amen. But there are some that are spiritual. Now also the mind. The madman of Gadara, whose mind was lost, it was because of an evil spirit also. But these days, you will not get a spirit to get you to go to the graveside and tear your clothes. But you will get spirits that will give you a certain way of thinking.
That's right.
And it is programmed not only in the Bible, but even in society, even in science, it's clearly stated that any person who behaves in a certain way will have a likelihood of divorce, say in a marriage. You understand? If someone is always headstrong, always ready to quarrel, always ready to give an answer, always ready, there are certain predisposed things. Whether it's male, female, I'm not just talking about female. Male too have their own very, very difficult. We all know, yeah. So there are certain things that are laid out. Now, the devil through, because of certain terrible experiences we've experienced or we've seen in family members or what we've known, the devil has taken advantage of it, of that, and planted certain thoughts and certain ideas in our minds. And these ideas are from the devil. And when we don't, when we hear the word of God and the word of God is taught, you see that, oh, that's true. Why should I even do that? Yeah, this is not something I should do. I have to fight it. Then you see that the devil is in the spirit agitated and screaming and wants out. And the more we hear the teaching, the more those ideas start to fade away.
Amen.
Look at Romans chapter 12,
Amen.
Verse 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Amen.
That ye may be able to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. There are some people who, the devil says that, look, I'll make you very lazy or I'll make you quarrelsome because you are very smart, you have a very good potential, but I'll make sure you don't do well at work. You'll be a failure at work. How? When you are lazy, you'll fail. Be not slothful, you fail automatically. Lazy. You lose jobs. When you are quarrelsome and you are quarreling with your boss, quarreling with the members of your team, you will lose. You either go down or stay at par. 20 years you are in the same place. But you see that that's the devil. And so those are what we are talking about.
Amen.
So These evil spirits that try to influence our minds are tormented. Now, in Revelation, maybe I'll read it later on, but in Revelation, the Bible, you can find it, the Bible talks about when the beast came out of the sea, and out of the beast's mouth were spirits like frogs that went out to the nations to entice or convince the kings of the earth to make war against the Lamb. Hallelujah. Now, what comes out of your mouth? Words. So the spirits like frogs were words that came out of the beast's mouth to convince the kings of the earth to fight against the Lamb. So it means that certain things we hear, certain words, certain things can influence us from the devil. Someone can easily get a spirit of fear because of something they heard.
That's right.
You can hear, you can hear someone from television or a friend tell you something that's scary. It might scare you and you move on. My son, my sister, she did the same thing she used to do to me, to my son. She would tell me very scary things and I'd be afraid when I was an unbeliever. I'll give your life to Jesus and I'll be scared. She did it to him. He was afraid. But the next day he was okay. But when a spirit is attached to the words, you realize that you continue to be afraid for a long time. It will not go, even though it's supposed to go. So you realize that you are afraid of certain things you are not supposed to be afraid of. Those things are evil spirits. It doesn't mean you are possessed or you are a bad person. It just means that an evil spirit has influenced you. Is that in the Bible? Do you remember Peter?
Yes.
The Bible says that after Jesus asked, who do people say that I am? Peter. People said, oh, you are Elijah. You are. Some say you are one of the prophets. Some say, yeah, we'll read it again. Thank you. Leave it there. Some say you are one of the prophets. And then Jesus said, who do you say that I am? Simon Peter said, thou art the Christ. Or Simon said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And from now on, you are called Peter. And I'll give you the keys to the kingdom. And whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then in that same setting, Jesus was talking to them about how he must die and rise from the dead. Then Peter began to rebuke him and say, no, Lord, far be it from you. No, you are not going to die. No, 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 you are not going to die. Then what did Jesus say? Get thee behind me, Satan. So Satan was trying to speak through Peter. Same Peter. Same setting. But it doesn't mean that Peter is possessed. It just means that he was being influenced.
That's right.
Hallelujah. In the same way, Ananias and Sapphira, how many remember that? In Acts of the Apostles. Do you remember when the pastor says, let's give to charity. If I have a house and I sell it and I make $500,000, may you have make $500,000 or more by your houses in Jesus' name. It will happen. $500,000. Oh, Peter, I saw the house for $500,000. I want to give $100,000. We'll clap for you. But instead of doing that, you say that I sold it for $100,000, and then you keep the $400,000. Why? Why? And when that happened, Peter said, oh, you have not lied unto men, but you have lied unto God. But Peter was the one he was dealing with. So there are times that a spirit, the words that come out, they are inspired by God. Also, there are words that can come out that can inspire someone by the devil. So it's not everything we must hear. That's why we must be prayerful all the time. It's not. There can be some spirit of fear that will grab you. There can be a spirit of lust that will grab you. You don't have any understanding why. There was a couple in the church who went, I was reading about this. Now, this is very important. I was reading about it, and the pastor who wrote the book was explaining that this couple were virgins before they married. So the pastor saw its significance, the one who wrote the book, to write about it. Virgins before they married, and they were living pure lives in the church. meaning that most likely when a guy sees a beautiful girl, he'll be like Job. Striking, you saw that, you see someone striking. But Job, so most likely that's how the guy was and the lady. But they went to Hawaii and they bought so many nice things, decorations. But ever since they got home from Hawaii, the urge to commit adultery was too much. They wanted to sleep with some. They know I have to sleep. It was so much that they told the pastor that I want to resign from duty because it's not just one. I want to sleep with all the ladies. And a woman too, I want to sleep with all the guys. Yeah. And they were crying about it. God, why? What is the reason? We don't want this. This is not how we are. Then the one who wrote the book went to visit that church. When she was told, she asked them to take her home. Then asked, where have you been recently? Hawaii. Show me the things you brought. Now they showed her a beautiful painting, very expensive, beautiful, of geisha girls, temple prostitutes. From Hawaii, beautiful. So she said, burn it now. Don't throw it away, burn it. After they burnt it, those edges disappeared. Now, this I'm talking about is sex, but it could be about many other things. Evil spirits can influence. That's why we must be prayerful. But sometimes when the teaching comes, it makes a whole lot of difference. There was a lady, I was having a convention in a church. And this lady, we were just praying, and then the lady started to manifest. It looks like an evil spirit. This is not, the fact that you are shaking or you are screaming does not mean an evil spirit is coming out of you. It just means that the Lord is touching you. It could be many things. It doesn't mean that, but this one was different. Throwing up different things, and there was some chain on the leg, one leg. There was something there. Look, we had to grind it. We got some people to grind it, some pastors to grind that thing and burn it before the thing calmed down. There are wild things there. So sometimes the devil also uses what we have. Cursed objects. Accursed things. Am I saying something to somebody? Demons influence, but the nice thing is that God has given us authority over all of them. So all we need to do is to stand our ground and say, no, I don't agree with the devil. The devil flees. Resist the devil. Didn't say fight him. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. No, I don't see why I should do this any longer. The devil is afraid and is fleeing. That's the power God has given to us, the authority. One more account and then we'll continue next week, God willing. Our time is up. There was also a couple who were not in the church but had some very wild situations. Imagine this true. A lady is in her bed, just about sleeping, and then wakes up and sees a stranger, someone in the room at night. And then walks away. Wow. A number of times. And if it was just her, she and her sister, if it was just her, it would be okay. But her sister also saw it. Before then, they were given a gift from their country, African country, a gift, an envelope. When they opened it, it was just paper, powder, and feathers. And the guy called me, the whole long story is that myself and two other members went to the house to pray about it because the guy was having dreams of being in a coffin. Wild dreams. In a coffin and dead. So it was just bizarre. So we went there to pray. Now when we went there to pray, we took olive oil and we told him to get the fuel. I don't when you know barbecue. Yes. the whole bottle. What do you call it?
Lighter
fuel, the big bottle. Now, before then, he had put it in holy oil. The emperor said, remove it. That's not going to do anything. Just remove it. Look, it was winter. We poured the whole lighter oil on the envelope, bent it. The whole thing bent apart from where the feathers were in that corner. It didn't bend. Look, we bent it. It didn't bend. Then we set the oil. We didn't even use too much oil, and the thing bent till it got to a very tiny part. We didn't want police to come because when they see fire, they are lost, all these laws. So we went to the garage. The tiny part, we had to do so much confession before it bent, finally. Now, when I said, please, light it, the guy said, I beg you, Pastor. My cousin had the same problem and lit it and got mad to date. I don't want to be mad, please. So what I'm saying is that they are entities, but the preaching and the teaching just removes their influences from our lives. Removes the influences. Now, why does the teaching remove the influences? Because the Bible says that Jesus is the Word. In the beginning, John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus Christ is the Word. And the light and all things were made by him and for him, and without him was not made anything that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Amen. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The light of Jesus Christ, the Word. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's why teaching is important. Because teaching delivers from demonic activities and causes demons to leave our minds, leave us. Because if someone who is in the world who has many ideas or the demon has influenced them, it can't just vanish. When you are born again, what is saved? What changes? Is your soul still the same? Your mind is still the same. Your body is still the same. The only thing that has changed is your spirit. Everything else is the same. Our soul is being saved by the Word. Amen. And you know when our soul will be saved? When we meet God.
Right.
It's being saved. Our bodies will be saved when we get our glorified bodies. But our spirits have been saved already. I'm not out of word, just out of time. We'll continue next week, God willing. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So let's speak to the Lord. And ask the Lord to speak to us and to deliver us. The Bible says that he has given us authority over all the power of the devil. So use your authority in Jesus' name and say that. Say positive things. Speak life. Speak life into your circumstances. Thank God for the authority against all thank God for the authority he's giving you to fight and to overcome all the power of the devil. All the power of the devil. In Jesus' name. The authority of the believer. The believer's authority. And decide that you are going to allow the Word of God. You are going to listen to audio Bible. Take your phone, audio Bible, play it. Play it. The more the Word of God comes in, the more demonic influences disappear. The more the Word of God comes, the more the Word of God comes. Let the Word affect you. Let the Word change you. Audio Bible. Bible. Audio Bible. Take your phone. Play it. Ask the Lord to give you the grace to do that. To walk in his Word. To walk in the light of his Word. Oh, Jesus, we give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. If you are here this afternoon and you want to say, Pastor, pray with me. I'm not born again. I don't know what it means to be born again. I want to give my life to Jesus Christ. I want to be born again. I want my sins forgiven. I want to surrender all to Jesus. I want you to raise your hands now and I'll pray with you. Is there anyone who wants to say, Pastor, pray with me? Let's all repeat after me. Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
I come to you.
I come to you.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
I confess.
I confess.
That Jesus Christ is Lord.
That Jesus Christ is Lord.
I believe.
I believe.
That he came down from heaven.
That he came down from heaven.
And died on the cross.
And died on the cross.
For my sins.
For my sins.
I believe.
I believe.
That God raised him from the dead.
God raised him from the dead.
Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Come into my heart.
Come into my heart.
Come into my life.
Come into my life.
Forgive me.
Forgive me.
For all my sins.
All my sins.
Cleanse me.
Cleanse me.
From all unrighteousness.
All unrighteousness.
From today.
From today.
I belong to Jesus Christ.
To Jesus.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
For saving me.
Saving me.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
We may take our seats.
Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Tell your neighbor you need teaching. You need knowledge and understanding.